1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 24. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he set out and went to Zarephath, where he came to the gate of the town. A widow was there gathering sticks. Elijah called to her and said, Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, As the Lord your God gives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now going to gather a couple of sticks so that I may go home and cook it, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, The jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon this earth once more. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many, many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance, and you have caused the death of my son. But Elijah said to her, Give me your son. He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son? Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again. The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, See, your son lives. So the woman said to Elijah, Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story of Elijah helps us to understand the beginning of God's providential care for his people. God's providential care for the Hebrews, remembering Elijah's miracles, his trust, his faith in God, and what he did for the widow was all part of establishing for them God's continuing presence with his people, especially in times of great need, that God would give them what they needed to survive and show mercy and compassion besides. The restoring to life of the widow's son was a sign that God would restore to life all of those that had fallen away. God could be trusted to bring them back and to sustain them. We can see how the people of Jesus' time believed that Jesus might have been a reincarnation of Elijah, except that what Jesus did, though similar, was so much bigger, so much better. Thousands were miraculously fed with loaves and fishes. Several were brought back to life. And besides that, many, many were healed and many, many more were brought to the faith. For the early Christian church, Jesus' actions underscored that he was part of the continuing story of the Hebrew people. And yet, what Jesus accomplished with the comprehensiveness of his teaching, the sheer number of miracles, the careful interpretation of his death and resurrection, the sending forth of the Spirit, his continuing presence with his followers, all brought them into a new realm of the story of God with God's people. For them, and for us today, it was clear that in Christ we are brought into a place not merely of sustenance, life maintained by God's grace, though that is truly true, but that we are given a life of abundance beyond our wildest dreams and beyond what we can even describe. We are fed so much more than what will keep us merely going, but fed on God's own Son, partaking of Christ's own power and love, and sharing in his ministry to God's people. This is a humbling proposition, isn't it? How can we mere mortals share in such heavenly food and take on such spiritual quests? We can only because Christ works in us and through us. It is not our own doing, but the work of God that is done through us because of Jesus. Today we will break the bread, and we will pour out the cup once more, and we will remember when Jesus first did this for his friends. Today we are called to bring to the front of our minds and our hearts and our souls the experience beyond words of God's sacrifice and gift of faith. Today we will break the bread and pour out the cup. Once more we will remember when Jesus did this for his friends. Today we will see how God sustains us. God is bringing us into new life, converting us continually, the life where all things are possible. And we will be called to ministry and mission, sacrifice and work, fellowship and worship. We cannot accomplish any of it on our own resources, but always dependent upon God's loving care and God's guidance and what God gives to us, the church. Trust in God. Praise him who cares for us. Praise him who cares for the world. Amen. Together let us stand and sing, praising God.